escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Seth has a look on his face that you look quizzical about something right now. What's going on, dude?
It's a pained and tortured look because I try not to knock you off track at the beginning of a segment.
That's
yet.
Okay.
Just real quick.
Yeah.
It's the one thing, because we're going to talk about this later when we talk about inside the NBA going to ESPN. And maybe I'll talk about more later then. It's just still so weird to me that ESPN is getting rid of Around the Horn. And it's not a shock that they're getting rid of one of their mainstay shows because, yes, that's what's happening in media all over the place. But part of it is that ESPN is trying to make this transition into the digital world and everything that's happening and how social media matters now. And, you know, they bring on Pat McAfee because he's huge on YouTube. It makes sense. That makes sense. But Around the Horn is the exact format of YouTube and so many other shows where, oh, you've got all these different people in different locations and you're making it, turning it into a game and everything. Like they've been doing that show, you can plop onto YouTube and it would be like, oh, look at what the kids are doing these days. Like so many successful podcasts are people in different locations and what have you. It's just strange to me that they're, and maybe it's as simple as the amount of money they're paying to all those people who are mainstay. Like Around the Horn will probably be back with a different name and a slightly different format, but the salaries were just way too high.
Maybe.
That's the part that's weird to me. I wasn't a huge fan. Like I didn't watch Around the Horn all the time.
Yeah.
It's just, it's weird that as they're, because this is what annoys me. It's because this is what big companies do when they try to figure out what the kids are into.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they try way too hard to acquire from outside.
Yeah.
So like, okay, well, we don't want to do it with our own talent, so we're going to bring in Pat McAfee.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, okay, well, we don't know how to be edgy anymore, so we're going to bring in Inside the NBA.
Yeah.
Nothing like a bunch of 60-year-olds to get that edge factor. Like instead of like something they already had right there, which perfectly transitions to YouTube and social media. I don't get it, Sean.
The Inside the NBA, we'll talk about the Inside the NBA thing in a little in the next probably in the 9 o'clock hour, because Charles Barkley went on Dan Patrick, and it's, if you're a fan of Inside the NBA and you watch that interview, you need to be kind of, I would imagine, a little nervous about what exactly the new product is going to be, because Charles doesn't even know right now. Like I think it's, they are, it feels like the NBA and everybody involved is going out of their way to keep alive a show that everybody loves, but the network no longer is in the NBA business anymore.
And when the suits get involved, this is when it all falls apart, because they're going to come in and all these guys with their MBAs and everything are going to say, boy, you guys were great before, but you know what you need? More structure.
Yeah.
Ah, I want us, Charles, you're going to have 37 seconds to make your point, and then we'll go to Shaq.
Yeah.
And then Kenny, read off the teleprompter.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, they can't just let something good be.
Nope.
They're going to look at, they'll look at, these people with their fancy degrees and everything are going to look at Inside the NBA and be like, I don't know. You guys just don't seem like, you just seem like you're having a conversation that, by the way, people really enjoy watching. I don't know. It seems kind of goofy at times. We're going to make it better.
Yeah.
And they're going to destroy it.
The Barkley stuff is good. Stick around for that. We'll do that in the 9 o'clock hour. So Shams Charania, who is now with ESPN, formerly of The Athletic and Yahoo. He's the go-to guy now for breaking news in the NBA. He was on ESPN yesterday and said that the KD, the Kevin Durant trade talks, are about to heat up.
The conversations will now begin to pick up on a potential trade of Kevin Durant out of Phoenix. Over the next 2 to 3 weeks, conversations will begin to heat up. I'm told the Suns will work with Durant and his business partner, Rich Kleiman, on a trade home. There's expected to be a robust market for him. 4 to 6 teams seriously interested in Durant, potentially ahead of the NBA draft. But between now and that NBA draft later this month in June, there's going to be serious conversations about moving Kevin Durant, and still one of the great players in the NBA right now, an all-NBA caliber player, still at the prime stages, really, of his play in terms of as a scorer. So we'll see where Kevin Durant ends up this offseason.
Okay, so there's a deal that was thrown out there by Sam Quinn, who's a basketball writer for CBS, that I'll lay out in just a second. But the tease into this segment was, would you do this deal for Kevin Durant? And I'm about to say what the deal is. I just laugh at the text. The answer is no, and I don't need any details of the deal. We've got a few of those. No deal for Durant. The Rockets need Devin freaking Booker. Get the fingernail polish wearer gone. That's about Jalen Green. Okay, easy, easy. All right, so that's actually a good lead-in. Sam Quinn's proposed trade is, he says, I would do Jalen Green and the number 10 overall pick for Kevin Durant and see if Phoenix will do it. He says that if Phoenix wants this, I'll read the exact tweet. My feeling on KD and the Rockets, if you can get him for Jalen Green and the number 10 pick, do it. I don't think Green is a part of their future anymore, and they don't have minutes for a rookie anyway. But the future Suns picks that the Rockets have, Amen Thompson, Şengün, Jabari, Tari, Reed Shepard, are all off limits. This is how I feel most similar to Sam Quinn in terms of a deal for Kevin Durant. You're going to have to give up something to get him. So we know that. The Suns aren't just going to give him up for nothing. And as Shams Charania points out, there's enough teams that want Kevin Durant on their team that there will be a market for him where you're going to have to give up something to get him. Totally agree with the part where Sam says they don't have minutes for a rookie anyway. And that's how I feel about these first-round picks, just to draft another guy who rots on the bench. No thanks. No thank you. The part where he says, I don't think Jalen Green is part of their future anymore, I definitely think the Rockets, I don't think the Rockets would do this deal. Let me put it that way. I think the Rockets want to try really hard to keep Jalen Green. I'm saying if I were Raphael Stone and the Fertitta family, I would do this deal. Jalen Green and the number 10 pick for Kevin Durant.
You would.
I would do this deal.
And just the one pick, yeah. And I think that's the part, too, where what do they really feel about Reed Shepard and all the other options in the backcourt, but also the fact that Kevin Durant provides you an opportunity to play more positionless basketball as a team. It gives you a lot of versatility in a way that Antetokounmpo might not. And if that's because of his age, he's going to be 37 years old this year. That's where the compensation, you know, they can say that the thing is, like, it's not about what Phoenix is looking for. It's what are those other three or four teams willing to give up?
Yes.
Because it's not like Phoenix is up against it. Like, Phoenix does not have a whole lot of leverage. It becomes more just Houston versus those other teams. And all of them are looking at Phoenix and thinking like, we got them backed into a corner. That's appetizing to me. Because you're giving up Jalen Green, who does have a future. And this is where it gets complicated. I'm fine with Jalen Green right now, as long as I'm not thinking about him, who's going to be a guy who becomes a superstar in the NBA.
That's right.
I can't watch this whole season and act like Jalen Green wasn't a huge part of them getting to where they eventually did.
Sure.
But you watch in the playoffs, and it's hard to envision that, man, other great players, even if they struggled in the playoffs or even if they struggled when they got blitzed and double teamed in the playoffs, they still, by and large, produce more than single digits, you know, in playoff games. So I don't think, I'm skeptical that he'll ever be a superstar, but I can't sit here and act like he's not a valuable part of the team.
Right.
But if you bring in Kevin Durant, it's such a huge boost immediately. And you do have this other huge core of young players that you feel good about developing over time. I'd be good with that trade.
Yeah, I would too. I would be good with that trade. I think one of the trump cards that the Texans, that the Rockets have, in this competition for Durant, because there will be multiple teams, as Shams points out, 4 to 6 teams that are going to be in the market for Durant. And it was the same group of teams that were in the market at the trade deadline. The Heat are in there. The Spurs were being bandied about last night on social media as the place Durant wants to go. They're, according to the reports, Phoenix is going to, as Shams said, going to work closely with Durant's representation. So this is not going to be something where Durant wakes up and looks on social media and sees he's been traded. Like, he's going to be heavily involved and manipulate this thing. From a Phoenix perspective, as long as Durant's cool with coming to Houston, from a Phoenix perspective, the one thing the Rockets have that there's some emotion attached to, evidently, are Phoenix's picks. They have Phoenix's picks in this draft, in the draft in 2 years, in the draft the year after, they got a pick swap in there or something. There's something about your getting your own draft capital back.
Yeah.
It feels like you're buying something back of your own that you've got an emotional attachment to. And so I think that that's material. I don't know that it's a difference maker in a trade, but it is a slight advantage that the Rockets might have over some of these other teams that are in the mix for Durant.
This is what I really just don't want out of it. I don't want it to be. I don't need it to become such a show like it was with Kevin Durant's free agency back in whenever it was when he first went to the Warriors. Yeah. Remember he hosted those meetings out in the Hamptons.
The Hampton Five, man. Yeah.
And it was this is what bothered me about it, was that it was a pain in the ass for every single team that went out to meet with him, because it was in the middle of peak tourism season where everything's booked out in the Hamptons. They had the Warriors staff were all sharing a room in some squatty motel somewhere because they couldn't find a place to stay.
Yep.
And just could you at the very least just do it in an office building in Phoenix or somewhere. Just don't make a huge production out of that part of it. I just want to wake up one morning and find out what happened.
That's exactly right. The other big story yesterday was that, and it's quickly got cold water poured on it from many, many different angles, but it just goes to show you like the kind of the hubris or the, you know, I don't know, the conceitedness of the classic New York sports entity. This is from Ian Begley, who covers the Knicks for SNY, and talking about their head coaching opening. They fired Tom Thibodeau a couple days ago. He says this: my early read is that Dan Hurley isn't at the top of New York's initial list. That's the UConn coach. So who is? Mark Stein reported late Tuesday that Ime Udoka and Jason Kidd are two coaches who are said to intrigue the Knicks. Udoka is a name that I'd heard as well. Ian says this. To hire Udoka, the Knicks would have to get permission from Houston and give the Rockets compensation to let Udoka out of his deal. And I'm going to tell you this right now. There is not a single player on the Knicks roster, and that includes Jalen Brunson, who I love. I think Jalen Brunson is outstanding. There's not a single player on the Knicks, and I don't even know if you're allowed to trade player for coach with the bargain, and usually it's draft compensation.
Yeah.
But just in a hypothetical world where you could trade a coach for a player, there's not a single player on the Knicks I would trade Ime Udoka for.
No, and to hear that the Knicks are interested in Udoka,
who's under contract for two more years.
It feels like it's like, you might as well tell me Steve Buscemi hopes he's going to be sexiest man alive this year. You know, like, all right, great. You're interested in him. Like, what? Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Welcome to the club.
Right.
Udoka, and especially, you know, like, Udoka, obviously, you trade for a coach or something. A coach is going to have a big say into whether or not he wants to go there.
Yeah.
I want to work for Tita. Or James Dolan.
James Dolan. Oh, my God.
Tillman Fertitta. I showed up and he's like, hey, here's a card. You can eat for free at any of my restaurants, and you could pet a stingray in the aquarium on your way out. Right. You know, bring your kids along. You want to see a white tiger? Ignore the animal protesters. We got them.
Yeah.
James Dolan is like, hey, you want to hear the next song I wrote about my pal Harvey Weinstein?
Dude.
Like, no. Sorry, Knicks. Oh, you're interested in Udoka. Good for you.
Have you ever listened to a James Dolan song from his band?
I remember listening to the one he wrote about Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, my God. I think it's James Dolan and the Straight Shot is the name of his band. And it's,
is there anything worse than the billionaire band? Like, where it just, I mean, that was, rest in peace, Ursay and all that. But, man, I did not need to hear him.
Oh, yeah, Ursay. Yeah, he's a big music guy.
It's not. It's still not as bad as the Hollywood superstar who has their own band. And then we'll do interviews where the interviewer is instructed that no, I'm only talking about my band.
I will not let you besmirch the good name of Kevin Costner that way. Okay.
Costner played the game though, because you would talk. He wanted to talk about his band, but he was also going to talk about like other things.
Yeah.
Where Billy Bob Thornton was the one who's like had a couple. Billy Bob Thornton's got some clips where the interviewer was only supposed to ask him about the band and where they were playing and everything, and then Billy Bob Thornton shut it down.
Oh my god!
Which I approve of though, because Billy Bob Thornton's kind of got a like kind of a badass vibe to him. So I'm like, yeah, that's just him being difficult, you know. He might as well be a member of Oasis. Yeah.
Hey, you're getting some military people texting in here from your question in the previous segment.
I had made the analogy of like, sometimes an offensive coordinator, it feels like when in the military you get orders from the rear. You know, from headquarters, where the officers on the ground and at the front are like, this isn't going to work. This is like, these guys do not understand our situation.
Yep.
Was I accurate in the way I portrayed it?
I'm going to read the text here. Good military. Oh, this is just somebody putting up a good military quote. I'll read the ones. Can confirm the accuracy of what you're saying, Seth. Source, I was Army Infantry from 03 to 08.
Yeah.
Another text. Absolutely right, Seth. Field operations can radio in for our platoon to flank left 300 yards. But if our sergeant, platoon leader, sees a field of fire, we're flanking right.
Yeah.
Calls an audible right there.
There's a part of that's a part of just being an officer that it's fascinating to me. Because those guys, they have to choose when to ignore orders. And that, like, on the ground and everything, but also you're in this culture of like follow orders.
Yep.
It's like the experience on the, that's why I can see why. And again, I base this on nothing except movies and things I've read. But like when you get a fresh lieutenant right out of West Point, like it's got to be scary as hell.
Oh,
because
yeah.
This guy's like, and plus he wants the glory and everything, and you're and like, meanwhile you got all the grizzled.
He's got all the analytics,
seen it all and done everything.
He's like, sorry, chief, our expected kills were much higher than our actual kills.
Yeah, they are. They're like, I shouldn't be laughing about it because I know this is like serious stuff.
Yeah.
Obviously. But yeah, that's like. In a more, when it's not dire circumstances,
yeah.
It does feel like that with young offensive coordinators sometimes. They don't understand how things work on the ground.
Good military quote. This is a text. No battle plan survives the first enemy fire, meaning you can write up the most textbook amazing thing, but when it gets real, you better know how to react.
Yeah, yeah.
We had somebody else text in about, here it is. When you're in the emergency room, you don't want the smartest doctor. You want the doctor that can adapt to surprises.
Right.
I guess it's a medical version of your analogy, right?
You don't want a doctor that's going to come up to your gaping chest wound and be like, well, I'm expecting cover two, and that's how I'm going to proceed.
That's right. No.
And like, the nurse is like, no. They're playing man. And the doctor's like, nope, they're playing cover two.
This chest wound is zero blitzing you right now. Right now.
No, listen, we've got a game plan for this, okay?
Exactly.
Now give me that thing that pinches the artery to close off the blood. I don't know what it's called.
Exactly.
Yeah. A clamp? That doesn't sound right.
Could you see a scenario realistically where we get Kevin Durant and Giannis Antetokounmpo? I do not. That's a lot of salary to match.
That would be something that I don't think. That would involve basically swapping everything out.
You're like
all the
your
good
team.
You'd be throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Yes.
On that one.
Yeah, yeah. Like if at the end of the
that
off
might
season,
that might make Udoka open to a trade to the Knicks.
That might,
you know?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I still think it's on the board that they roll back largely with the same group with none of these star players. And if they do that, I'm cool with it. It would be more exciting if they got one of these guys for sure. But I'm cool. Like if they need more shooting. That's the big thing. If they roll it back with this group, but they don't add shooting, then I'll be a little disappointed. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you as we roll on here. The secondary. Is this the best part of the Houston Texans in 2025? We're gonna hear from a couple members of the secondary. It's gonna get you pretty fired up, I think, for what that part of the team is gonna be able to accomplish. We will get to that. Coming up next.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Oh yeah, we got a lot of dogs in the defensive back room, like top to bottom, left to right. You know, everybody has their own different type of swag, different type of, you know, like you said, sauce or whatever. But everybody makes plays and everybody, you know, gets the job done. So thankful to be in that room with so many great guys and just be able to learn from them and just, you know, pick their brains on different things that they see.
That was Jalen Petrie on Texans All Access earlier this week. I am to the moon excited about this secondary and seeing them in training camp in this season. I cannot wait.
You know what? Usually when people are trying to dampen your enthusiasm for something, especially when it comes to turnovers, because the Texans are really good at taking the ball away, they'll point out that, like, hey, usually it's pretty random. You know, some years you get a bunch of them, some years you don't. But there are defenses that do consistently create turnovers. And some of it just comes down to style of play or the guys you have on the team. You know, Peanut Tillman, obviously, was just very adept at the peanut punch and forcing turnovers. I feel pretty confident that this is just that type of defense.
Yes.
You know, some of the randomness comes from recovering a fumble just tends to be completely random. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you can create a bunch of fumbles, but it just, like,
ball
you have bad luck recovering them. Yeah. So I feel pretty confident they'll be able to take the ball away a lot more. It becomes a more lopsided advantage if your offense doesn't turn the ball over a bunch. And that's one of the things you hope that to get the really lopsided turnover margin, it takes two to tango. But I think that part of it, given the fact that the Texans have a really good pass rush, because a lot of your turnovers come from strip sacks or pressure that yields an interception, and the fact that they have guys who are ball hawks in the secondary. If anything, I look at last year and I think, you know, if anything, they might have had a little bit of bad luck on some of the potential turnovers.
Yes.
You know, the number of plays that Stingley and Bullock almost came up with, I think I felt like, you know, give or take, like some of them were just, they didn't have good enough hands, but I think that easily, it could have easily been more takeaways.
They would say the same thing. You hear conversations with Stingley and you ask him about the interceptions he had this year, and he brings up the one he dropped against Dallas as much as he brings up any of the ones that he had, like the one to close out the Miami game. You know, like he still thinks about those mistakes. Hell, Bullock is reminded of them all the time by anybody who gets asked about Kalen Bullock. They're always like, yeah, he had five interceptions. He could have had 10 interceptions if he, you know, if he could have caught the ball. I love the position that they seem to be in all the time. Like Kamari Lassiter, like, you're right. Like the picks, there are very few cheap interceptions that group got. You know, like there were a lot of very like plays, like handsy plays on the ball that Lasseter and Stingley made last season.
There were a couple, like the end of the Lions, the first half in the Lions game,
yes.
Right? Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Who was it that just kind of caught the arm punt by Jared Goff?
Like at the end of the half? I think that might have been Bullock, actually, at the end
yeah.
of the half.
Yeah, it was just
might have been Lasseter. I can't remember.
It was an arm punt, or not even arm punt. It was just a last ditch effort.
Like, yeah.
Stingley had one this year that was kind of a throwaway.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, by and large, they were earned interceptions.
Dude, the one Lasseter had against the Lions at the goal line there was like, and the one Lasseter had against Herbert where he threw the ball back across the field.
Well, and some of them too, if you go back to the Browns playoff game, the one interception that Lasseter had where you might say, okay, that was just lucky. It was the one that Will Anderson tipped. And
Lasseter wasn't on the team for the Browns.
Actually, not Lasseter. I'm sorry. Will Anderson. Will yeah. Anderson tipped.
Yep.
And Stingley was able to come back across.
That
his
was against
body.
The Broncos in the regular season. That was against Russell Wilson and the Broncos in the regular
so
season.
So I only got two things incorrect, but I got the consonant.
I know the player
at the beginning
talking
of the team.
It was the
it
Russell
wasn't the
Wilson,
Browns. It was the Broncos.
Russell Wilson
yeah.
was throwing it out to his right, and Will caught yeah. a piece of it, and Stingley kind of went to a knee and adjusted to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like that was you could say okay that was just a random bounce of the ball. Like no, it was a tipped ball by the defensive end who's
Dude.
A good pass rusher, and it was a guy who's got really good ball skills.
Reflex.
And Stingley
yeah.
able to make up. So you make your own luck in some regards when you've got skilled players.
No doubt. No doubt. So here is Kamar Lasseter when being asked, how good can the secondary be?
I feel like with us, the sky could be the limit, to be honest. I feel like, you know, with the success we had last year and the work that we put in during the offseason and how we're grinding right now and just trying to build chemistry and just work on our technique and just play as one and play fast and play physical, I feel like we can be very successful this year.
Yep.
Yeah, and one thing that Matt Burke said that I liked a lot, he said the three most dangerous words are, I got it. Like, you never want to come in and feel like, hey, look at what we did last year, now we're just going to build on that.
Yeah.
You have to start back at the basics. Where it could work out really well with this secondary, if they continue to build, if A, they, you know, get back to where you were last year, but then build on it, is that they were playing with two rookies in the secondary last year, and Jalen Pichu was playing in a brand new position. It's hard to do a lot of the more nuanced stuff when it comes to swapping responsibilities on the fly, and kind of anticipating how the other guys are going to play around you. You know, Kamari Lasseter cited just knowing where his help is, those kinds of things. Hopefully that develops this year more so because now they're not rookies, they're veterans,
yeah.
and there's some consistency and stability there. And then the other big part of it is, can they just stay healthy? Because aside from the youth in the secondary, they just had a rotating cast at that other safety position because of injury and what have you, that it's just hard to do some of the more, you don't need to get super advanced, but just some of the kind of stuff that really good secondaries just do naturally because they've been playing together for a while.
Yep. Here's Lasseter again on the pairing of him and Derek Stingley.
Yeah, I feel like from the moment I got drafted, Stingley was actually the first person to hit me. I got drafted 2 minutes later, he texts me. And just from the moment that we met, you know, we kind of instantly clicked. I kind of understood him, he understood me. And we just talk a lot. Like, Sting doesn't talk to a lot of people, and he's not like a big talker, but like, we talk a lot about football, but not even just football. Like, we got really close.
I love
felt like he was name dropping a little bit there.
I know, it's funny. It's funny, too. Like, anybody that talks about Stingley talking to people, they're like, he doesn't talk a lot. But when he was talking to me,
Stingley might be Machiavellian in that regard.
Everybody,
like he makes everybody feel like, no, you're my close and special friend. I don't talk
that.
To other people this
yes,
way.
I love that. So that was Lasseter. One more on Stingley. Here's Jalen Pitre. Let's see if Jalen Pitre talks about how quiet Stingley is.
For sure. I've seen that from the first day. You know, he's always been a humble guy. Doesn't talk too much, but when it's time to play, he's going to, you know, do what needs to be done and make the plays that need to be made. So, you know, I've been seeing that since the first day we came in together, and you know, I'm really proud of him, and like you said, he's going to continue to grow and continue to get better. Last year was a great year for him, but it's a lot more left to him, and he'll tell you that. He knows that, and he's going to continue to make plays and help us win games going forward.
He'll tell you that. Well, no, wait a second. He'll tell me that because he doesn't talk to a lot of people. He'll tell me and three other people that.
maybe Lasseter, we'll have to try to figure out what the bar is for whether Stingley really, really talks to you. Maybe it's a Deep South thing.
I'll tell you.
You know? Because Houston's not really Deep South. It's South, but not deep, like not Southeastern United States. From Louisiana over, if you're from Georgia or if you're
I'll tell you what got him talking. We had him on the post game show. I think it was after that Dolphins game where he had the two picks.
Yeah.
And you want to get him talking, ask him to take you through a play.
Right.
He was incredibly really insightful, like talking about the pre-snap, talking about things he had seen earlier in the game that made him do what he did. He is a remarkably intelligent football player.
I'll tell you, Sean, one of the things I've really liked this offseason was Stingley, after he signed his extension, talking about how the team, D'Amico and everybody else, has never tried to, you know, force him into a leadership role or have him be somebody who he isn't. Because when I was a young man and Andre Johnson was on the team, I was a veteran player and Andre was in his rookie year or his second year. I think it might have been after his rookie year. Some coach told me, like, hey, you know, would you mind talking to Andre and just tell him, you know, like, it's okay for him to speak up and everything. And I'm like, all right. I'm like, what am I going to do? Go up to Andre and be like, hey, young whippersnapper, I need you to give a speech to... So I can remember, like, thinking about having the conversation with Andre and starting it. It was when it was before one of the off-season workouts, and we were stretching. We were leading the stretch, the stretch circle. And I started in, and I was like, ah, screw this now. And I did what the non-commissioned officer does. I made an executive decision on the field. I was like, no, this isn't. Coach, Andre's just going to do what Andre needs to do.
Yeah, he'll be okay. He'll be okay. Yeah. Coach, you
I'm
said
gonna, like, Andre can lead by example. And Andre was like Derek Stingley, too. And you talk to guys in the receiver's room and ask about how vocal Andre was. Like, Andre wasn't going to – Andre didn't put up with BS from rookies.
Right.
Andre would one of the things, we got to get Cecil Shorts on to tell some story about the time Andre, I want to say he hit a dead fish in the dude's car locker or something. It was some rookie was misbehaving. It was just like, all right, we're going to send this kid a message.
That's a message right there.
I don't know if that was Andre or somebody else. So we'll have to get Cecil on to tell the whole story.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Did Andre cross over with Cecil was here in 2015. I think Cecil got here the year after Andre left.
So it wasn't Cecil either. So we'll have to talk to somebody about something. Tommy Pham is in there somewhere. Gotta listen to the whole show, everybody.
Yeah. You gotta get up at 6 a.m. to get that reference. Oh, man. That is funny. Of text messages, a lot of people feel in a certain kind of way about Kevin Durant and giving up Jalen Green for Kevin Durant. Don't give up Jalen Green. He can be our Klay Thompson. That's fine. Who's your Steph Curry going to be right now? That's the thing. You know, Klay was a great number two.
I don't like the comparison. I know you're not trying to make a direct comparison there, though, either. But I just like somebody that's he's not a Klay Thompson type of player.
No, Klay's a dog, man. Yeah. Klay was all defensive level dog. Suns have no leverage. Rockets not giving up Jalen Green. The Suns have leverage as soon as there's more than one team that want Kevin Durant. And especially if there's four or five teams that want Kevin.
That's why
Durant.
I said, yeah. And I say the Suns don't have leverage in that they would really like to get rid of Kevin Durant because of the situation they're in. They don't have a pick in the first round until the 2030s.
That's right.
So because Houston has all their picks. But so you're correct in that they don't directly have leverage, but that only matters if there's only one team interested. Mm-hmm. Now it's kind of like saying the Texans didn't have leverage with Deshaun Watson.
You're right.
Until they created a bidding war.
That's correct.
And then all of a sudden the Texans got a king's ransom for Deshaun Watson. Remember that? Remember how much crap I used to hear about this? Everybody was arguing about how Deshaun Watson doesn't have any leverage. The Texans don't have any leverage. What ended up happening? They both got handsomely rewarded.
Right.
They both ended up because you created an auction-like environment. So the only thing that really matters with the Rockets is how many other teams are in on Kevin Durant and how much are they willing to spend for him?
Yeah. Again, what are their I would put the Rockets' assets up blindly against any of these other teams that have a desire to have Kevin Durant on their team with all the draft picks and the young players.
It was really the happy ending of that entire situation with Deshaun Watson was that Deshaun got handsomely rewarded and so did the Texans.
It was.
And everybody could feel good about it forever and ever and ever.
That was definitely the happy ending that we all wanted from that, for sure. Mm-hmm. Last text here.
I 100% honestly didn't mean that to come out that way, but yes, there we are. There we have it. I apologize.
That's right. Yeah, why are you worried? It's not a crime. Last text.
Never mind. Yeah, go ahead.
Last text. Doesn't the money have to match to make a deal for Durant with Jalen Green? They'll throw Jock Landale and two other scrubs
not
in there.
Not Landale!
They'll throw Landale and a couple of scrubs in there.
I can't lose two players from the Southern Hemisphere in one damn offseason, Sean.
They'll bring back Steven Adams for you,
okay,
Seth. But they'll have to toss a little Jock Landale action in there.
I need representation from the upside down world,
damn it. The
upside down. If you do, in fact, believe the earth is round.
All right, how nervous would this make you if you were a defending Super Bowl champ and you heard one of your players say this? How scared would you be? We will have that for you coming up next.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's got a lot of run yesterday. Saquon Barkley looked to be on Chris Long's podcast. Is that the Greenlight podcast? Is that what it's called?
Chris Greenlight Long? Podcast.
Greenlight, yes. Podcast.
He does a really... I like Chris Long. He's a very good interviewer.
He's good, man.
He's prepared.
Yes.
He comes up with really, like, he's really good. I've enjoyed watching him kind of develop over the years.
He's excellent. There's certain former athletes that do podcasts where clearly someone got in their ear and said, hey, you should do a podcast. And so they're just cashing the checks. Chris Long puts the work in, man. He's really good. His interviews are insightful. And he follows the league overall, too. Like, he's got really good takes on all 32 teams.
He is one of those guys that when he talks about the Texans, I'm like, oh, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah.
When, like, a lot of guys that cover the entire league, it's like, okay, they're rehashing whatever. But, he really pays attention.
Yep. So Saquon Barkley was a guest on Chris Long's podcast. And this was an interesting question about retirement and the possibility of retiring, in which the answer you'll hear, Saquon Barkley makes the point that his favorite player growing up was Barry Sanders, who retired out of nowhere from the Detroit Lions.
Which, by the way, Barry Sanders, Saquon Barkley was 1 year old when Barry Sanders retired.
I say so, growing up, but probably via YouTube.
It was one of his favorite players, via highlights.
Yep.
Yes.
So here is Saquon Barkley with Chris Long.
So fast forward to however long you want to play. You're one of the best ever, maybe the best ever. Do you want to be like an Aaron Donald where AD says, hey, I want to get out of here playing at the highest level. I want to leave a little early. Or do you imagine yourself as one of these guys that wants to do it until the wheels fall off?
It's a great question. I'll probably be one of those guys that it'll be out of nowhere. Like, I'll probably just wake up one day, whether it's next year or 2 years or 4 years, like, and just be like, yeah, it's over. I don't think I will ever lose that passion. The competitive nature is always going to be there, but you know, I like probably my favorite player of all time is Barry Sanders. So probably similar to that. Maybe one day, like, it'll be out of nowhere. I'll probably be balling and just be like, yeah, call it quits.
Okay, what was your gut reaction to that?
My first gut reaction, and I didn't know the exact, I looked up the exact timelines, obviously he knows that Barry Sanders quit abruptly, out of nowhere. I don't think he would understand or realize when he brings that up, and people my age hear that, what you remember about Barry Sanders was he did it abruptly right before training camp, like, and the organization didn't realize it at all. And that also, Barry Sanders was at as the Lions were becoming a decrepit organization.
Yeah.
And they hadn't ever really given him a good offensive line or anything. They made the conference championship in Barry Sanders' second or third year or so, but then it got, you know, they got rid of Fonts and then they had, what's his face in there? It was Ross, right? And
Bobby Ross was there for a little bit.
Bobby Ross, yeah. It was, I think it was second, it was, might have been Bobby Ross's second year when Barry Sanders
up and got out of there. Yeah.
So, and at the time, Saquon Barkley was 1 year old. So I think we hear that and we think, like, not like that.
Right.
And then he also threw out, he said it could be 1 year, could be 2 years. Yeah. It was a pretty short time horizon. I think the difference is, if any Eagles fans or anybody else freaked out over that, I would not worry about it, because I think first and foremost, he's on a good team right now.
Yes.
And he's having as much fun as you could have playing football. Whereas Barry Sanders had been getting taken all kinds of abuse on a bad team for not really any reward or anything. And when he felt financially comfortable, he's probably like, I just don't need this anymore. And the other part, too, is Aaron Donald, it wasn't all of a sudden in the middle of the night. His was protracted. It was a couple of years where he was kind of openly deciding whether he was going to play or not.
Yeah.
So I don't think Eagles fans have anything to worry about. And I'd be surprised if Eagles fans themselves were worried about it. It's more just the response of people from around the country in the month of June.
Yeah.
Saying like, oh, look at this. This is something we can talk about.
I would look at it this way. If I were an Eagles fan, look, for one, Saquon Barkley just signed an extension this offseason. So he's, you know, clearly there's commitment there. With as much punishment as Saquon Barkley has taken in his career, like, he, before this season, this MVP caliber season with the Eagles, it was on or off as to whether or not he was going to be injured for big chunks of seasons in New York. There's a better chance that Saquon declines physically before that. Like, there's a better chance that Eagle fans are going to want Saquon up and out of there.
Yes.
Before Saquon decides, I don't want to play football anymore.
You're going to get into that uncomfortable moment where, man, I really loved the Super Bowl victory.
Great memory.
And all that, but man, he's washed up. Yeah, there's a much better chance of that.
Yeah.
I think this is the problem, though, too. It's that we as fans, as sports fans and as NFL fans, emotionally are at our most toddler-like when we're following sports. We're not rational. We want to believe in fantasies and all of these other, we create these big images in our mind and we don't want anybody to tell us. This is the equivalent of like Saquon Barkley being like the uncle that decides at Thanksgiving to go over to the children's table and tell everybody, hey, you know, everybody dies someday. I'm not sure if you guys are aware of that. And sometimes it happens without, you don't even know it's coming.
Yeah.
Your dad, your mom, poof, they could be gone.
Could be a year. Could be 2 years.
And whereas kids are like, hey, whoa, what? What?
I'm just eating my pumpkin pie. That's all I wanted. It was my pumpkin pie. That's a good analogy.
You just don't see it coming sometimes.
There's probably Eagle fans are like, Saquon, why? I mean, this is the afterglow of us winning a Super Bowl. What are you doing? June 3rd, you're talking retirement.
Saquon has the perspective to understand how short-lived an NFL career can be, and he doesn't want to drag it out at the end. You know, he doesn't want to be dragging along at life support, having people, you know, collect his poop and all that. He just wants to off it.
That's exactly. As I sit down and I look at the NFL, I'm like, what does the NFL need more of? Existentialism, of course.
You know, but what are the happier versions of it?
Sure, sure, yeah.
Camus or something. Don't give me that as a no-nihilism. Yeah.
If I'm going to get an existentialist, I want the one who's on the cover of the Madden video game. Saquon Barkley. Yeah. Which that was a lock to be on the cover. That backwards jump, it's a badass still shot.
Oh, it's one of the coolest things that's ever happened anywhere in the world.
It is.
That backwards jump was just one of the, I don't know if, I wouldn't have blamed him if he retired after that play. He'd be like, I can't do any better than that. You know that movie? Oh, what's a movie where Johnny Depp, it takes place in Mexico, and Johnny Depp plays this hitman or something, but he has this incredible, he's eating at a restaurant, and it's an incredible meal. And it's so good that he goes in and he shoots the chef. And they ask him, why'd you do that? He's like, because I know for the rest of my life that when I order an enchilada or something, it's not going to be as good as that one. I don't want to know that there's a better option out there.
Oh my God, Johnny Depp, the movie.
Wasn't Johnny. It might as well have been Tommy Pham, whoever the actor was.
In the movie, I just Googled this. In the movie, Once Upon a Time in Mexico.
Oh, okay.
Johnny Depp's character, Agent Sands, does indeed shoot a chef, not because he's upset with the food, but because the food is too good.
Yeah.
Boy, that's tricky, man. That's a real incentive to just kind of stay in the middle of the curve, you know what I mean, throughout life.
You're never going to get any better than this.
Yeah, and you get shot.
Coming up next, Sean and I will break down everything that actually meant in that plot. You ever watch a show and you're like, I know that this symbolizes something, but I don't want to think about it right now.
Yes.
That's Fargo season two. We're watching Fargo season two, and there's a weird little, it's not a huge part of the show, but there's a couple episodes where the UFOs are involved.
Okay.
And it doesn't really fit with everything else. And I know that it means something, but I don't want to think about it. So I'm just like, all right, I'm just going to purge the UFO stuff from my brain.
Is Fargo the creation of somebody who's got a reputation for doing stuff like that, like getting a little too cute?
Well, it's the Coen brothers.
Is it Coen
Not
brothers?
Quite in that same manner. Okay. That's what was kind of weird about it. But yeah. I understand like that it was... Fargo, the TV series, is fun because along the way, they do kind of little nods to some of their other movies.
Oh.
Like there's a part in season two that's kind of reminiscent of the one with Nicolas Cage, Raising Arizona.
Yeah.
Like the speech that... The dream that Nicolas Cage has in Raising Arizona, they play kind of a similar music behind it and everything. So it's a fun watch. It's really well done. I'm enjoying the series.
I like Easter eggs, man. I like Easter eggs that on shows.
They're not even Easter eggs. It's kind of obvious. You're like, this was like in Raising Arizona. Some of the characters are kind of similar.
Yeah.
Like, they always have a character who's a doofus, like Steve Buscemi in the Big Lebowski.
The Big Lebowski, yeah.
There's like a character kind of like that in both of the first two seasons so far.
Makes sense. I'm sorry. I'm looking at Barry Sanders to see who was on the Lions the year he retired. Charlie Batch was the quarterback and Johnny Morton was the leading receiver. I would have retired also.
This is the other thing that Saquon Barkley doesn't understand, because he didn't grow up then, was... He might know it academically, but he doesn't realize it. The era in which Barry Sanders played, you have to think, like, in the 10 years that Sanders played, 32 running backs went in the first round of the draft.
Yeah.
In the last 10 years, 14 running backs have gone in the first round of the draft. And now the other thing about that, in the last 10 years, if you broke it down to, like, how many running backs went in the top 10, it's probably a six-fold difference.
Yes.
It's night and day. In the 10 years that Sanders played, 4 running backs won the MVP.
Yeah.
In the last 10 years, 0 running backs have won the MVP.
That's right.
So Barry Sanders retiring, and like he was retiring as it was becoming the age of quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But it was just, it was different. It was different.
1998, man. It was a way more running back centric, bell cow running back centric league. Last text here before we get to Clint Sterner here, top of the hour. Clint's going to join us in the next segment. Johnny Depp's character is the equivalent to Ross Tucker trying to close a restaurant with bad reviews because the food is too good.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little more violent than Ross. One used, you know, just word of mouth. The other one used a revolver, you know, but same concept, I suppose.
I like watching shows like Fargo and others because it's just, I don't know why this didn't hit me until the last couple of years. I really find myself really conscious of like, wow, I'm really just... openly hoping that this person dies a violent death. And you can't get away with that in real life.
No.
I think that's the part where I'm enjoying Hollywood more and more as I get older. I was like, oh, God, if I could just really wish a violent death upon somebody this in real life. Yeah.
Payne and Pendergast with you. Heading into the 9 o'clock hour, Clint Sterner was out at OTAs for the Texans. We're going to talk a little football with our guy, Clint Sterner. You can hear him on The Drive with Ron Hughley and Tyler Milner from 2 to 6 every afternoon here on Sports Radio 610. We'll talk to Clint coming up next.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.